Welcome to Conversations with Ask Ash. Conversations with Ask Ash focuses on people, processes, and outcomes. Ashley dives into everyday conversations around work efficiency, team productivity, and project execution. Let's get into the show. And now, your host, Ashley Schuler.
Hello, everyone. Ashley Schuler here, host of Conversations with Ask Ash. Excited about this episode with me and Jess Rasdell. We had a great time with this episode. And so I met Jess when I was hosting the Done in a Day virtual event, and she was Jordan Gill's speaker, like one of the speakers at that conference. And I signed up for her emails. And so I really enjoyed her journey and really seeing what she was doing. You know, she's in the public speaking arena. We met in this CEO Bible study group, and I've loved to see her growth and the things that she was doing. And she too is in a built from scratch season. And so, man, you all are going to enjoy this episode. It's going to be fantastic. And so this is Built from Scratch Season 7, my episode with Jess Rasdell. And please, oh, this is so good. Make sure that you rate and subscribe, review, do all the things, comment, and listen to this episode, because she's dropping gems upon gems about her life, her business. It's such good stuff. All right, y'all, I'm out. What's happening, everyone? And welcome to another episode of Conversations with Ask Ash. You are in the Built from Scratch season, and needless to say, you've heard me say it once. I am always excited. It's not going to change. Just get used to it, folks. Just buckle in for another great episode. Why is this great? Because we're in the part of the season where I'm interviewing my favorite people who are doing really cool things in this world. And I have a really awesome guest here with me today. And this is none other than... Dun, 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 dun. I just love to have my own sound effects because I don't have those little sound effect boards yet. I just really love this individual. Jess Rasdell is here with us today. And Jess! We're here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much
for
having
me. This is good. You know, what can I say? This is like taking the Voxer conversations and just putting them live. This is just really what this is about, though.
This will be good.
But, you know, Built from Scratch, I told you in the invitation, we started to talk about what this whole season is about, which is this concept of driving from this concept of what people are building. We got programs, projects, initiatives, things that I've been observing in many different spaces and industries is that people are building things that are complex, they're unique, they're innovative, and it's not a cookie cutter type of thing. It's not a just let me template you to death and just go and just go. And so I started researching building from scratch. So there were some really good definitions out there, you know, talking about building something from nothing. And then there were some baking analogies and some cooking analogies, which I know that you'll love, which is aspect of like baking, like biscuits and having flour. And could you just, if you conceptually think about the end product of something, and then someone being in a kitchen and just saying, oh yeah, I'm just going to have my flour. You're like, how exactly would you be able to take something that's literally can just go through your fingers and then make something, bake something, and it comes out of the oven and it's something ready to be eaten, right? So in the same way, today we're going to be talking about what you're building. What have you built? And we're going to be talking about some really interesting things today. And I first want to kick this question off because I think it's important because we go by so many titles where, you know, we're just the title police. We have to name you, you know, we have to do all these things. So Jess, who are you?
You know, in this seat, and I think a big aspect. I think my role has changed a lot through the years, but in this season, I really feel like I'm a people builder, right? Like I'm a caregiver. I'm a mirror to others. So whether that's in my home or in my business, I really feel like I've been tasked with like holding people close and helping them be their best. I'm an actual caregiver in my personal life. I'm a homeschool mom to my kids. And in my work, I really help my clients step into that next role of themselves. And I really feel like my job is just to like hold people close and help them be their best and live their best. Like, and it's kind of cool when you strip away the titles.
That is really good. And I think what I like what you said, which is this aspect of theme of nurturing. Now, was that something inherently that you had growing up?
Absolutely.
Okay,
not.
No. Really? No.
I was an only child for 18 years. I was an only child. So I wouldn't say I was super nurturing because it was me and the dogs, you know? But my parents adopted my little sister when I was a senior in high school. And I don't feel like I really had a lot of years to be super nurturing. But as I have gotten older, as I have supported people through business, as I've had children, as different things, I feel like the weight of life's experiences have made me want to like turn around, scoop others up and be like, you can do hard things and speak life into them. I think life is just, I don't want to say it's like made me age fast and I've got old wisdom, but it has. And so often I think our personal experiences, we like to hide those away and maybe not talk about them as much, but it can be such a gift and blessing to other people to share our lessons learned, good, bad, ugly. So I think about that so often of like, how can I take the lessons that I've learned, especially the hard ones, and use those to help others, whether that's helping my daughter with fractions and that I like to use pizza to figure that out, or if it's, you know, helping somebody write their next big talk. Like I really like to lean on the lessons that I've learned and use that to nurture someone else.
Yeah. You know, you said something profound, two things that you didn't say, but you led to it. Well, one is the experiences, right? Making sure that you're not hiding who you are because it's shaped where you are now. So you've had, which is something you didn't say, but you said it, which is the pivotal moment where you make that decision to say, I want to do something different, or whether it's an idea, whether it's a new adventure, whatever the case is. Walk us through, you know, it could be a couple of different stories about what are these formative years in your life that's got you to thinking through like, all right, I'm a nurturer, you know, I have all these roles. And then we can talk a bit about too, your business, but those formative years that kind of helped you to spark, all right, I want to go into this particular industry. How did that all start?
Yeah, this was not part of my plan, but like it never is. It never is really, you know, it's never really part of our plan. So, but I, you know, I was a freshman in college knowing I wanted to go for business, like big dreams of, I know all everything I saw in the movies, some big office, you know, with lots of windows, probably working some marketing department. And I went to college with a business scholarship. Like I knew that was the path for me. But on a Friday night at 18 years old, I was the driver in a fatal car accident that took the life of my best friend. And I went from worrying about midterms and what I was going to major in to worrying about if I was going to make it out of that car, what I was going to do the next day, and the fact that there was blood on my hands that would never wash off. Like this was the world I knew was over in a minute. And when we think about like pivotal moments, that defined everything else that would happen from here on out. There was nothing. I'm a fixer, right? Like I'm just a doer. Like I don't want to talk about it. Let me just take care of that for you. Acts of service is my love language. And I couldn't fix this. I could not undo this. Nobody could. But I could prevent others from repeating our mistakes. I could do anything in my power to keep her memory alive. I could try to make this right in some way. And I started speaking. That is what, like, I'm a raging introvert. I'm so good right here in my little bubble,
wow,
not getting in front of other people. But all I could think about was, at 18 years old, we just thought we were invincible, right? Like, that could never happen to us. That was somebody on the news. That was something so far away from us. And if I could get up on a stage and I could be that mirror, right? Like I said, I want to be a mirror for others. If I could be that mirror for the audience and show them that we, Laura and I, were just like them and their best friend, that they could see themselves in our story. But they wouldn't think that this was something so far out of reach, so untouchable, but that I could meet them right where they are. And that sent me on this journey of just really understanding the power of, like, if we could just put all of our insecurities and doubts and all of that to the side and just show up with the goal to leave our audience better than we found them, that we could change more lives than we would ever understand or be able to calculate, like the ripple effect that comes from that. And years later, we fast forward to when I started my own business, I started to realize that the thing that I had become really good at was taking something that was difficult or shameful to share and sharing it in a way that actually helped others. And here I was in the business space with so many business owners who were used to only showing up completely buttoned up and polished and perfect, and it wasn't helping them connect with anyone. It's like, how do we share those harder moments in business? How do we share the launches that flopped, the employees that didn't last, the hard lessons learned? And I started working with business owners to help them craft and share their stories and use speaking to scale their businesses. But my life was still happening in the background as well. And my family was growing. And I built a business that was maybe a little bit bigger than my season of life could handle. Right. We had large programs and team members and everything was great and wonderful. And I enjoyed the work. But when in our personal life, we took on caregiving, I didn't realize like how that would impact the way I showed up in my business, and that managing a program with, you know, 40 members would just be maybe one too many people. For the introvert, right? Because I was already navigating like five people in my home. So it was in that moment that I really had to decide, you know what? Just because this is the way we've been doing business doesn't mean it's the way we have to keep doing business, and made a drastic call to kind of pull things back and start from scratch, right? Build from here and decide, what do I want things to look like going forward? And now we're doing the same thing, but taking a very different approach to how we operate.
Wow. Wow. We do have to rewind the tape a little bit, because I think what... And I wanted to hear it, because something that you can tease out a bit, which is, what is this aspect of finding the strength in those moment of, you know, the tragedy happened, and then you're thinking, what in terms of, are you making the decision to say, I'm going to let this define me either in this way where you could go down a bad path, or I could really look at this and say, what is my life supposed to be like now? So where did you wrestle or pull and tug with that? Like,
I wish I could sit here and say, oh yeah, I like had this big plan. I did not. I was one foot in front of the other, towing this line of waking up every day. And I was really struggling physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I mean, I couldn't walk when I was in the hospital. It was rough. I was starting over, but I was in therapy. This happened in a therapist's office when I made the decision. I told her I just lost it one day. I was like, I'm really tired of talking about this with you. she just looked at me and was like, what? You know, I'm like, I'm very tired of talking about this with you because it doesn't change anything. Mm. And she's like, okay. And all I kept thinking about, and the thing that still drives me to this day, whenever I'm finding myself getting in my way, my own way, or I'm hesitating, is from this place of like, how dare I quit? Or how dare I not do the scary thing? Or how dare I take a step, whatever it might be, because Laura didn't get a chance to try. Like, she never got those opportunities. And for me, just knowing, like, one, for her, but two, there are so many people every day who never have the opportunities that I could have in front of me. And yes, I made a huge, horrible, terrible decision that changed so many lives. Yes, like, this was awful, but I'm still here.
Right.
Right. Like, I was pulled from that car, and like, not everybody gets a second chance. How dare I throw it away? So when the opportunity presented itself to deliver that first presentation, I didn't plan that I was going to keep doing it. There was one, right? It always starts with one. There's one scary choice. There's one scary yes. There's one scary email, whatever it might be. And I made a phone call. I made the scary phone call. I asked to come speak. And in my mind, that was it. This was one talk. I was doing one talk. I was going to be good. We're going to walk away from this. But then I saw the impact, right? I got the calls from the parents. I had the conversations in the hallways. Like, once I saw a tiny glimpse into the difference speaking could make, like, there was no turning back. Like, I didn't really have a say at that point. Once you see that, you're like, okay, well, I guess this is why I'm here. And I kept that in the back of my mind too, that there had to be a reason I made it out of the car, because all signs pointed to it should have been me. The car, I mean, everything, it should have been me that night. And I kept always wrestling with this question of why am I still here? And I was like, okay, maybe this can be the thing. This can be my purpose and going forward.
Wow. The wrestling question led you to be able to keep going, essentially. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And one thing that I think is really good that you pointed out was that it started off with just one. Was that something like you made the call? You seem like you felt, what was it, the Holy Spirit? What did you feel like? What was prompting you to say, I'm going to take this opportunity to go and like do this presentation?
It was prom. I had just graduated from high school, not even a year earlier, and prom was coming up. And all I could think about was the pre-prom presentation. I went to a private school, and we would have this assembly of what you could wear, and to make sure when you were dancing that we left room for the Holy Spirit. Like, that was the pre-prom assembly. Yeah. Left at that. Like, your dress must be to your neck, and there will be room for the Holy Spirit when you dance. That was all we got. And all I could think about was, like, what if I spoke at that pre-prom presentation? Like, what could happen then? Because I would think about seniors going home, like leaving prom, what were they going to go do after prom? Like, how many of these situations could be happening? And nothing happened that year. Like, nothing, not one incident at that school. And I was like, I'm supposed to be doing this, right? Like, I am here and I can do this. So I'm going, like, this responsibility, it felt like it wasn't even an opportunity. It was not an opportunity, right? It was a responsibility is what it felt like. And I took it that way. And traveled all over the country, speaking to tens of thousands of kids. I was on a mission to do this work.
Wow! So you're on this journey. It would start off with one, but then it catapulted into many.
Oh yeah!
you said oh yeah. In those times when it's like you just keep going, did you have an idea of like, all right, where am I headed? Like,
Not a clue. Okay. Not at all. And I wish, like, I was like, yeah, I had this great strategy. No, not at all. All I could think about was the fact that I was at the time that I'm out here public speaking and sharing my story, I was still facing real criminal charges for the death of my friend. I was the driver, right? So I was facing 10 and a half to 15 years in prison. And the last thing my lawyer wanted me to do was to go out and say, I did this. And that's what I was doing. I did not care what anybody else had to say about this. For me, this was my way of surviving. This was my way of waking up every morning and going on. And I was out doing the exact opposite of what anyone thought I should be doing. But I knew – I kept asking myself. I was like, I know right now, in the thick of this, struggling physically, mentally, emotionally, huge legal case on top of me, you know, all of these things, I know that I'm at the bottom. And I kept telling myself that, like, I know I am at rock bottom. And this is the most emotional place I will ever make a decision from. So if I think 10 years from now, when this has died down a bit, will I regret that I went out and shared my story, or will I regret that I didn't? And like that for me was like, well, I can't go back and change it. So I'm going to do it now. I'm going to do it right now while I'm young and I'm relatable. And I kept going, but I didn't have a plan for this. I didn't know what was next. All I kept thinking was I could go to prison any day. And I could be gone for 15 years. So what I'm not going to do is waste the time that I have. What I am going to do is try to make the biggest impact that I can, because the reality is I may never be able to do this again. Like, this might be it. This might be my tiny little window. And I need to embrace the tiny window concept more in my life, because I think it's easy to push things off. You know, I'll do that next week. Let me move that thing on my calendar. But the reality is, like, what if we just acted as if this is the only chance we had to do it?
Yeah. Yeah. What is so profound about that is that there was a concept of not wasting time and to really to maximize what you knew, what the season of your life was, which was, I'm going to go, I'm going to tell my story, I'm going to tell to as many audiences that I can. And so then what happens after? So you go and you're doing these speeches, you're waiting for all the legal charges. And then what happens next?
I just reached a point where I couldn't do it anymore. I did. I was me. I ended this. I reached a point where I was waking up every morning, like, things where I would be like, how far out can I schedule my next doctor's appointment? Or like this like thing looming over me. And I walked into court and I threw myself at my judge. I just walked in and I told him, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm ready. Everybody was, I did not tell anybody I was doing this. Everyone was so caught off guard. I literally walked in. I was like, can you please sentence me today? And I don't think anybody was expecting that. Right? But I had just reached a point where I knew I was ready to, like, I was ready to face this. And there's so much nuance to that statement, because I was ready, I wasn't ready. It was such a complicated thing of knowing that I was ready to face the sentence, but also knowing no matter what sentence it wasn't going to bring her back. So there was just like so much weight around this, but I walked in and I just was like, I'm done. I'm ready for the next chapter. I'm done with this one. And this, when he made the offer to me, I signed the paper and I was signing to go away to prison. This just calmness washed over me of, okay, you did this to the fullest, and now it's time to do the next one to the fullest. And that's what I did. I when I got sentenced to prison, I spent 4 years in prison, 4 years where I should have like been in college, right? Instead, I was in prison. And it was another situation where I kept thinking of like, I have something to share here and I only have a limited amount of time to share it. And for me, that was, I had the privilege of education and I was being incarcerated with lots of young adults who some couldn't even had children and couldn't read, you know, and all I could think about was if they're going to be released from here and they can't read a job application, like there's no chance for them. They will be back. And so I started tutoring. I worked in the education department and focused on helping as many people, as many young women as I could while I was there, get their GEDs so that they would have some chance at their own second chance. And it's really just that mindset for me of like, in this little window that I have, like this is limited, although it might feel like a very long time, right? This is limited here. And like, how do I give the most, make the biggest impact? I just want to like walk out of that room, no matter where it is, and feel like I left nothing.
Incredible, because here's what's going on, folks. Because here's what's going on, folks. Because if we think about, you know, in just as, I mean, we'll get to the business stuff, because I think what we have to take into account that there are ingredients, materials, and things that are needed when a vision is being built. And this right here of resilience, of purpose, of faith, of just and also how you responded to what you were doing is all in the mix. Because again, you're a very young person, not knowing who you are in this present day and how you navigated that. But this is a huge takeaway, right? There's nuanced takeaways even with that. So here's the question though. You again asked this question while you were incarcerated. All right, I got to make the most of this time. So inside, you are, I mean, I can just, I mean, this is me just trying to imagine you. All right, you don't like, you, are you going around and talking with the individuals and the people and just like really just making sure that people know that there is another side and to not lose hope?
At the time, no, because I didn't know there was another side, right? Like for me, like I didn't know. This was my only chapter. There was no chapter after it yet. I was still had doubts of ever leaving this place. But the for me, it started because two pivotal things happened. One is I was taking a correspondence college course.
Yep.
While I was there, I was doing it through the mail, and I needed to keep my mind busy. And when people there, when some officers and staff saw the paperwork coming through, saw that I was doing this, they started asking me. I was able to get a job in the education department helping, but it didn't start there because I didn't start with that. It started because every day count time, everybody has to sit on their bunk and everybody's inventory is essentially taken. We take inventory, make sure everybody is where they belong. And you can't move. You're kind of stuck there sitting until it's finished. And the girl next to me in the bunk next to me was trying to do some schoolwork and she was really struggling. She couldn't read the page. And it just like, I didn't know what she was working on, but I just knew her as a person leading up to this. And I knew she had a child at home and I'm watching her struggle to read the instructions on this page that she was doing. So I'm like, bring that over here. And I started helping her through it. And I just kind of became this like impromptu dorm tutor.
Wow.
It was like, oh, if you need help, you can go to Jess. Like she'll help you. And I know a big part of that, another thing that kind of a theme in my life is not bringing any judgment to the table, right? Of knowing that these people that I'm either speaking to from the stage or sitting across a prison bunk and working on math with, that I have no judgment. I'm just there to help. And for me, that's what allowed me to kind of build trust in a place where trust does not exist, and to help others right where they were, right? Of like being able to make sure they knew that I was a safe place to land.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever said that on a podcast, so this is really uncomfortable.
Okay.
But in the best way.
Okay, good. No, it's powerful for what you said, because, you know, again, you were making yourself available to be used in somebody else's life, making an impact. But I love what you said.
And that's so wild that you say that now, right? Because, like, we've talked about that off this, that, like, my big, like, prayer this last 6 months has been, like, Lord, use me where I don't know I'm needed. And now looking back, I'm like, oh, he's kind of been doing that all along.
Right.
But I just didn't realize
it. And I think this part is so pivotal about the judgment piece, because I think we feel like, whether we can't do something, we don't know how, or whatever, or there's parts of our story that we do fear that we will get judged upon. But then for you to really make sure to create that, I mean, that's probably everything to that individual that probably remembers you to this day. That is super powerful. So as we go through your story, you know, you kind of find yourself in this educational space, tutoring. You're the like the number one person folks are going to. Then when it comes time to, you know, transition for reentry, what does the building of that look like? What's happening, everyone? I hope that you are enjoying the Built from Scratch season. I love that we're unpacking this topic. What does it mean to build a program, project, an initiative, and sometimes your life from scratch? And did you know that there are three reasons typically why projects fail? Number one, poor planning. Number two, unclear goals. And number three, miscommunication. So what do we do about this? We build better workflows. Yes, we build better workflows. And in fact, I have a service that will just address this. The ClickUp and Project Management VIP Day. I'm excited about this because I get to partner with you for one day to set up workflows that are going to help you plan better projects, execute efficiently, and be able to do away with miscommunication with your team members. Oh yes, you're going to have a peace of mind. Sounds like a dream? Well, it can be your dream. So be sure to apply for the ClickUp and Project Management VIP Day. All the information is in the show notes. Back to the episode.
That was probably the hardest part that nobody talks about. It's like, the coming home, it's such a shock. And like, especially if you're coming back to where you were when you left. Because for me, I felt like I had made strides while I was gone, healing. I'm like, all of this, like I was on a new path. And then I was going back to the same house that I had been waiting to go to prison in, like the same bedroom. And it felt like 10 steps back.
Yeah.
And I very quickly realized, like, I was no longer the girl waiting to go to prison. I was the woman who made it out the other side. And I needed to figure out who she was. And so it was time for clean slate, right? Not starting to keep going, but this was another building from scratch moment. I had to figure out, who was I in this world now? Like, what did I want to do? Now there was, I wasn't going to say there's so many opportunities because a lot of doors were slamming in my face now. Remember, I'm just coming home from prison. But I had to figure out, like, what did I do from here? And I did initially try to just go back and pick up where I left off. I tried to go back to college and quickly learned, like, no, you violated student code of conduct by getting a felony, right? Like, there was a lot of doors slammed in my face. And I'm grateful that those doors were slammed in my face, because that's ultimately what led me to go out on my own and to start my own business. Because all I could think about was, well, what job am I really going to hold as a felon? Like, do I need to go into debt and go finish school? Why don't I just do this myself? And so that's how I ended up starting my own business. And I started initially helping people craft their stories, which evolved into more speaking strategy, but it's because of the doors that were closed.
Wow. That's something that needs, that's about to be clipped up. It's because of the doors that were closed. Super powerful. Super powerful. You're looking to build your life in this next season, in this next chapter from scratch. And you just said,
but I wasn't at first. That was the problem. At first, I was like, I'll just pick up where I left off. And God's like, absolutely not. Close that one. You're not going back. You're going, like, you had, I really had to, like, have everything shut on me in order for me to realize, like, we're not picking up where we left off. We're starting over. This is scratch.
And you just had yourself and what you knew. That was it. And you were picking up your virtual pen and said, like, let's hit the town.
Exactly.
Who are you meeting? Like, in what spaces, meaning, like, when you found yourself with other business owners? Like, was this online or was this, like, in person? Like, where were you?
Oh, yeah. All online. This was all online. Yes. Yes. And, it was all online. Is it, remember, I could not drive, still cannot drive. And so for me, like, this was my opportunity to be able to, and when I had my daughter, I was like, this is it. Like, this is my opportunity to be able to create something on my terms in my unique life that meets my needs too, because I couldn't just go drive to an office every day, and I couldn't go do things like other people could do. And I was going to probation at the time. I was still, like, on probation, starting my business. Like, I was reporting to other people. I did not want to boss
That just wasn't in the cards.
And it was just one of those things that I was like, well, I'm going to figure it out. Like, I'll just figure it out. I'll figure it out along the way. Let's go.
And you, and then you just started to do it. So you're meeting folks online. You're beginning to talk to them. What problem did you identify? Like, what was that?
Well, first, I just really leaned into, like, what people were coming to me for. Because at the time, I was still going out and speaking. I had international media coverage. Like, I was a speaker, but I was not a business owner. I did not have any back-end infrastructure. So people would come to me and ask, like, how do you do that? Right? Like, how do you craft your story? How do you share this on a stage? And I'm like, you want me to help you? And there was my first client, right? And I would realize, okay, like, this is a thing. Incredibly smart, talented business owners who've built incredible businesses don't necessarily know how to show up and be the face of their company and share their message in a concise way that leaves people better than they found them and moves them to action. And I was like, but that, I can do that. If I can get an auditorium of high school students to take an action, I can definitely get motivated business owners I've worked with the hardest audiences, high school kids, my fellow inmates in prison. Like, I got this.
Yeah. The business owners are easy. You're like, we'll be able to get them where they need to be. Wow. So you started the business. You were starting to get people, you know, the strategy, because they were asking, like, how do you do this? Were you seeing what type of patterns were you seeing in types of clients, the results people were getting? What did that look like for you in the beginning?
Yeah, it was really eye-opening. Like, every client was such a learning experience for me, right? Like, I wasn't following somebody else's blueprint of how to start a business. I was going client to client, figuring this thing out. And I would dive deep with this client, I would learn so much more about their industry, their pain points, their struggles, which would become my marketing copy for my next client. But it was when I spoke, I knew, like, I didn't know anything about online business. I didn't know a thing about, I didn't know what a list was, like a grocery list. What kind of list are we making? I didn't understand any of the lingo, but I knew how to use speaking to make an impact quick, build authority, and drive people to action. So I started speaking. As soon as I figured out that I had an offer, I started speaking. I sold out my first group coaching on Periscope. Wow. Live. I put in to speak at my first like industry conference, and it was, I just knew, like, I was nobody in this space, but I knew how to leave people better than I found them. And I was like, if I could just get on the stage, I will be able to carve out a spot for myself. But I also didn't wait for the stage, right? Like I made my own platform. I started on Periscope and used that to speak to my audience and move them back into my offers.
Oh, that's good. Using what you have, use your knowledge, use your experience, use Periscope. Okay. Like, you know,
and I love systems. Mm-hmm. I love all of them now. They're the only way I can live my life the way that I do. But let's be honest, I had my first six-figure year before I had 1,000 people on my email list. Okay. Like, you don't have to have everything perfect before you start action. And it was the taking action that helped me figure out, well, what things do we actually even need in place?
And did you imagine, because were you doing one-on-ones, and did you grow into group? Is that how that went?
I started with one-on-one, and then I quickly grew into a group, which then the group I turned, this is the evolution, started with one-on-one, moved into a group, and then I took that group curriculum and turned it into a course so that I could reach even more people, which would then become a really high-level year-long group coaching program. And it wasn't until last year that I was finally like, I can't sustain that anymore.
Wow. So you grew, it was quick. It was real quick. So even in that, when you're thinking about, like, you know, the amount of people are coming, the traffic, whether it's podcasts, social media, speaking engagements, people are signing up for things. At one point, were you thinking, from an infrastructure standpoint, what help do I need? Like, how do I know what the gaps are? What was your decision-making process going from one-on-one to group and then that kind of taking off?
Absolutely. So the very first thing is, in the beginning, I didn't listen to that's where all my business problems happen. It's not when I listen to myself or, you know, as the Holy Spirit, like you're going to tell me to do. But when I started looking at what other people were doing, right? And everyone's like, you need a VA. I did not need a VA. But I would like try to hire people to piecemeal little things together. And it just was an absolute disaster. It was, and I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what I needed. I did not know what or who I needed. And I was speaking at a conference and I was in a small group. I was leading a small group. And one of the women in the small group was a businessman, an online business manager. And she was talking about some struggles, but the way she talked about how deeply you could see she cared about her clients and their businesses. I was like, who are you? Would you like to go to dinner tonight? I literally asked this woman to go out to dinner and I'm like sitting again, introvert does not do this. And I'm sitting there across the table from her with dinner. I have my 6-month-old son with me and I'm like, I don't even fully know what you do, but I know that I want you to work with me. Like, I know that I want you. Like, I'm sold. Like, I want you to care for me and my business like you were talking about that client. And for me, like, that's what I needed to see. I didn't even know what this would look like. I didn't have a plan in place for what this would be. And she was the most incredible business manager and was with me for years. And she was just like my right hand, who could help me to help me see the things that I couldn't see, help keep me in my zone of genius, and then also be able to say, hey, we're growing in this area, we need to consider this higher, versus me, I would have just been like, let's just keep loving on everybody. And she was able to help me do my best work and kind of forecast all those, all the support we would
blind
need.
Spots. She was, you know, being able to really see what you couldn't see, the blind spots. That's good. That is really good. Absolutely. You know, and what I really love about this is that, you know, and I don't, you know, well, you know, and I'm not going to assume this, but it's like, there's this concept that passion is not enough when it comes to, you know, being in business. But it seems for you that when did the, and I don't know what, if there's another word for it, whether it's passion or calling or maybe you want to call it, what, in, for you to go from the, I guess what's the, I guess where I'm trying to go with it is that you, the recurring theme I believe that I'm seeing is that you find the purpose and you find whatever the ditches are and you're like, we're going to dig and then we're just right. This is exactly what's coming to me in like real time. And so for you, you have a really great sense of just knowing the pivotal moments to say, all right, I got to figure out this ditch. And like, she was the person for it. She called out the blind spots. So then walk us through then from the one-on-ones to the group. So when you're doing the group coaching, is that more draining than the one-on-ones?
It was and it wasn't. There was, at first I loved the group and I loved it so much because of what I did not expect. What I did not expect was how connected everybody else would become and how much like, and watching them work with each other and partner with each other, like that gave me so much life. But what I have found over the years is like, as you mentioned, like I want to get in the ditch. Like I want my hands and the impact that larger scale work where we're doing deep work, I'm like, know all about their business, but I'm not doing it, I'm not in it, leaves me feeling a little empty, right? Like if I'm teaching it to everybody, I'm cool. We're good. I'm fulfilled because I know I did my part and I'm not carrying the responsibility of them doing their part. But a group coaching program was like a little bit too much. Of a little bit of both, right? Because like I learned so much about their businesses. There was so much intimacy there and so much support, but I could not execute and implement for them. I couldn't. I could bring them to
but
water.
Couldn't
make them drink. And so like now we have kind of shifted that a bit. I still lead workshops. We still have templates. We have trainings for anybody can access all of our resources. But if we're going to work together, like my hands are getting in your business, right? Like I need to be involved in that impact. Like we've now are even like helping our clients implement their plans as far as finding events for them and doing pitching for them. Like I want my hands in your talk. Like I want to help edit. I want to be a part of the impact that you're making. And I want to make sure that you don't just like absorb knowledge and say that was nice, but you instead put it into action and get to have your own ripple effect with speaking.
What I like about that, because you mentioned something I think was really key, which is people are still able to, you know, access the library of work and the body of work of knowledge. They can get the templates and things and whatnot. But then there is something, which I personally feel, there is something to be said for what does the customized process look like that leads straight to impact. That's so good. So when you're in it, you're like, you're essentially the one seeing almost like the blind spots that they may not be seeing. Wow.
Absolutely. That is my job. Like I would like, and most of our clients are, they're already dabbling in speaking. Maybe they're getting on podcasts or they've been doing some speaking, but for them, it's not, the math isn't mathing. they're not either getting paid for their time or they're not getting the conversions on the back end. And I can strip away for me. I have no skin in the game. I'm not going to feel an emotional attachment to a certain presentation or a certain event. I'm going to strip it all away and say, well, this is where we're missing the mark. Like, this is where we need to make the changes. And after doing this for so long and being involved in so many different types of presentations and industries, I can very quickly see those gaps. And like, that is so fulfilling, right? To be able to go in and be like, you don't have to burn this down. Nothing is broken. You're not broken. Your business isn't broken. We just need to tweak this and like watch that impact happen.
Well, this is very interesting about when you talk about you don't need to burn it all down. But when have you found that in terms of rebuilding and restoring in your life and business, what have you burned down and what have you, you know, built anew? Because when you can tweak, but then it's like, you may need to just burn the whole thing down. Just mean like, so how do you gauge that? Like, even in your current season, how are you gauging that?
Absolutely. That's such a great question. Cause I don't like to do anything from scratch. Like, I love cooking from scratch, but I don't want to figure it out twice, right? Like, once I find, I love baking bread so much. And once I find my recipe, that's it. Like, I'm making it every week. That's my go-to. And I don't like change. And I'll tell you, I just totally ruined this for myself because I'm ridiculous and bought a flour mill so I can grind, make my own flour. My recipes don't work anymore and I'm still troubleshooting this. So if you happen to have a bread recipe with fresh milled flour, just send me a DM. But with business stuff, I look at it, and when we closed our academy, which was our big coaching program, it felt like I was burning everything down, right? Like, I felt like I was burning it all down, but I wasn't at all. Right. Like, I was just changing the way that I help people. All of those resources and templates and trainings that I had spent years developing were still being used one-on-one with clients. We're still getting moved to our shop. Like, everything was getting reworked and reinvigorated for this next chapter. But I wasn't starting from scratch. And I think I see that with clients so often. They'll be like, oh, but I spent, you know, all my childhood up through college, I was in dance and that was all wasted. Now here I am doing this. I was like, no, you were learning to be a performer and now you're on stage. This is great. Right. Like, so often we think that time, you know, the sunk cost, we think about the sunk cost of years and things. And I just don't. I think no matter what, even when you burn it down, there was so much that you learned in that season. There's something good to extract from it. And I'm like, I don't know. No sunk cost.
No sunk cost. So just a couple more questions before we wrap up. So the academy is no more. And so you are now just really, you've just transitioned into doing things in a new way. It's a more innovative. Did that bring a sense of more peace? You're more in alignment. What the catalyst for the closing of the academy? Did you know that from a long time? Because sometimes, you know how sometimes you know, or something's building, or sometimes it's like you wake up and you're like, I think there might be something I need to start paying attention to. What was that for you, though?
It was feeling really out of alignment, but we were so busy in our personal lives. Yeah. We were selling our home and renovating my father-in-law's and moving and coming to work with him, to come move in and live with him. But I didn't have the brain space to even think or create a vision for what I wanted next. So I just kind of kept putting it off and putting it off. And then finally, I took a few weeks off from creating my own podcast because I was feeling behind and overwhelmed. And in that little bit of white space that I had, I was like, oh, It's the Academy. The Academy needs to go. But because I just been so going through the motions, I didn't have time to really sit with and say what's working, what's not working. How do I feel?
That's good. That's really good. And I think too, you know, knowing when to say goodbye. And I think that the storm of what was going on in your life really kind of just pushed that to the forefront, so that you had to just make that choice to say, all right, we're done with the Academy. Now it's time to sunset it, so to speak, and move on to something else. I always say this because this is like one of my newer phrases of the season, is that building from scratch takes faith, time, and commitment. Out of the three, what do you think, what resonates with you, and was one of, well, out of the faith, time, and commitment, what have you learned in that?
You need all of those, right? That is the recipe. Like, how much of each of those ingredients you're going to need is going to be different for all of us, but that is the recipe, because you have to have faith to even take that first step. But doing it for a week results in nothing. You know, you have to be committed to continuing this thing and seeing it through the ups and downs. And sometimes that is going to take time, and it doesn't happen overnight. So no, not one, all of them.
I know you said one, but it's all three. I love that, Jess. What's next? Are you already in your next? Or are you preparing for your next?
I'm preparing for my next. I think when I think now, looking back of like, why would I close the Academy? Why would I do these things? I think it was just helping me create the space for what's next.
Yeah.
And I know we were sharing a little bit candidly before we record, but as I've been working so intimately with clients now, and I'm seeing their struggles, and I'm seeing, you know, them be brave and put themselves out there, and I think it's time for me to do the same and get back in the saddle as far as speaking and sharing my own story goes. So this next year, I'm really going to be focusing on not sharing the story I share, not the, you know, the girl who made it out of prison, but again, the woman who's over here on the other side now, and sharing the story of redemption and coming back from those hard seasons, being able to walk that walk alongside of my clients, and be there with them, but also get back to making that impact from the stage when I first started.
Wow. Listen, I don't know. I'm just giddy over here because I don't even know what to say, because I think that's just we have not seen the best of you yet, ma'am. We haven't seen it.
I received that.
We have it. It's so beautiful. The way the Lord just came in and knitted your story so perfectly. A story of hope, a story of faith, a story of purpose, a story of redemption, but through pain. There wasn't, you know, through tears, through the I don't knows. And then to now be in this place and space of another chapter of what it's going to be to build from scratch. I think, you know, you can help us just to close it out, because I'm, you know, because we go in for an hour, we just don't have that type of time. We got to eat dinner. The closing thought that I'm having on this particular conversation is, for those leaders that are out there that are looking at, well, how do I do this? I think you just have to go back and play back this episode, right? Because there's something about the walking into the unknown that you're just going to have to grab a hold of. I think you're going, and when I say you, I'm concluding, I'm in the you and the me, and the we and all this. Resiliency as well, understanding the art of resiliency, and understanding that the closed doors lead to the open door. That was good. That was something else. Jess, what do you want to add?
It's easy to follow everybody else's path and do things the way that they do it. And my biggest impacts made, my biggest successes always come from a season where I didn't do the popular or normal or, you know, conventional thing. But when I saw an opportunity to help somebody else and I took it, I took it on a whim with faith, but asterisk there, right? That I committed to consistently helping others, not making it a one-time thing. And I stuck with it long enough to be able to see the impact, right? That being able to have the faith, let the time be there and the commitment. Like when you see an opportunity to do great work, even if you don't have it all figured out, take the chance, commit to it, and stick in it long enough to see it through.
And that, my friends, is another episode of Conversations with Ask Ash with your host, Ashley Schuler. And I will have all the information for Jess in the show notes. Go visit her. Go ask her questions. Be a part of the journey that she's a part of. And then vice versa. We're just going to say you have a story. And so if you are looking to make that leap, that next step, then go ahead and saddle on up to her DMs so that you can have that conversation with her. She's waiting. She's ready. And this is what she's doing. And so I'm excited. Be sure to tune in for the next episode. I appreciate you all. Leave a review and share this episode with 3 people. And so this has been fantastic. And we'll talk soon, everyone. Have a good one. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Conversations with Ask Ash. Please be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and follow Ashley on social media at Ashley_Schuler_. That's ASHLEYSHULER_.